This podcast of Seattle Unity Sunday Service is free to you, but it's not free to make. Please remember to hit the donate button so we can continue to bring you great podcasts like this one.
It goes like this. We who believe in freedom cannot arrest.
So I invite you to affirm our opening statement with me this morning. It's in your program. There is but one presence and one power in my life and in the universe, God the good, omnipotence.
One, two, three. We who believe in unity cannot rest.
Associate Minister at Seattle Unity. I'm here at WeWork, our temporary office space, while our new building is under construction. Today we have a guest speaker, Rabbi Ted, and I know many in Seattle Unity community know Rabbi Ted. He's spoken with us many times before. And I'm not sure if you're aware, but we have been pre-recording our services in order to integrate the message and the music. This talk by Rabbi Ted was supposed to happen last Sunday, and he actually gave the talk a couple of weeks ago. We recorded it then. But we put it on hold so that Reverend Karen could speak to what was going on last Sunday with the protests. Before we get to the message, however, we're going to settle in for meditation provided by Jesse. And so I invite you now to take a deep breath and give yourselves the gift of being fully present here and now.
Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a to make the wound
So this morning we are blessed and privileged to welcome Rabbi Ted Falcon with us this morning. He is a familiar face to Seattle Unity. So through worship, teaching, counseling, and speaking, Rabbi Ted Falcon shares the spiritual gifts of Judaism while appreciating that it is only one of the authentic spiritual traditions in the world. With gentleness and humor, he deeply affirms the integrity of each individual being. He is the author of A Journey of Awakening, a Kabbalistic Meditations on the Tree of Life. And with Imam Jamal Rahman and Pastor Don McKenzie, he's co-authored three books. And that is Getting to the Heart of Inner Faith, The Eye-Opening, Hope-Filled Friendship of a Pastor, a Rabbi, and an Imam, Religion Gone Astray, What We Have Found at the Heart of Inner Faith, and his third book, Finding Peace Through Spiritual Practice. He is also co-authored with David Blattner, Judaism for Dummies. He founded and led Bet Aleph Meditation Synagogue from 1993 to 2009, and he is a beloved speaker and spiritual leader in the Seattle area. So welcome, Ted. Thank you for being with us today. We are blessed.
Thank you, Karen. I'm really delighted to be here. I should let people know that I inquired from Reverend Karen what she thought the community of Seattle Unity would want to hear from me. And she provided a series of questions, essentially inviting me to provide all the answers about how to deal with the COVID-19 and the strange situation we find ourselves in, to place it in a spiritual context, to reassure all of us, and to provide all the answers. For anybody who thinks I can do that, you might as well stop listening now. Because we're in this together, and we're in a strange new world, and all of us, particularly those of us who are teachers, think it's our responsibility to provide answers for everybody when we're struggling to find answers for ourselves. We are living in times that none of us could have imagined, and we're actually called upon to do something that our normal lives have not needed us to do. And that's really look at what's essential. What's essential in our lives? What's essential in our world? To reassess what we've been doing. COVID-19, many have commented that COVID-19 is an external reminder of the oneness of all humankind. COVID-19 knows no boundary of country. It knows no boundary of race or culture or religion. COVID-19 apparently knows no boundary of age, knows no boundary of language. COVID-19 just demonstrates exceptionally clearly how incredibly interconnected we all are, and calls us to a kind of mutual support should we wish to survive as humankind on this planet. The reduction of flights, the reduction of travel in cars, the reduction of business as usual has started to actually heal some of the wounds that we have been causing the environment. But it's also supported a growing anxiety, a growing powerlessness, a growing anger. And it's almost as if when human beings have to confront the reality that actually we're not in control of everything. If we struggle for control, we're going to fall into behavior that's really violent in either language, polarization, or physical violence. And that's what's happening. We're witnessing an outpouring of a kind of anger, a kind of rage. We're witnessing the outpouring of a lack of mutuality, a lack of supporting each other. And at the same time, we are invited to notice the implications of the oneness that the virus is displaying for us. We might ask ourselves, what's the best use we can make of this time? And my response is, the best use we can make is the same as the best use we can make of every time. The way we've been using our time, the way we've been captured by our consumerist culture, the way we've been captured by a world where we're not paying attention to the violence we're causing, the violence we're causing to animals, the violence we're causing to our fellow human beings, upon whose labor we have just been taking what we want, without respect to the hurt we cause, the poverty we cause, the radical disparity of income, the racism that is still rampant in our culture. We've been living, most of us, getting what we want, almost instant gratification, with exceptionally little concern for the consequences of our behavior. Same as always, what's required now is the same as that which is required always, and that is the transcendence of our ego trance, our selfish, self-centered, self-pleasing, self-defensive ego trance, and an awakening to a deeper identity, a deeper being, a deeper presence, through which and with which and as which the healing that needs to be both personally, interpersonally, and planetarily needs to flow. Spirituality, as far as I'm concerned, is not a what. One of the problems with spirituality is that we reduce it often to language. And we think that we can talk it. We can understand it on a cognitive level, and somehow that makes us spiritual. I don't believe that spirituality is a what. I don't believe that spirituality is a thing. I believe that spirituality is a who. Spirituality refers to the degree to which we are aware of the more inclusive nature of our being. The way I look at it is, I know how spiritual my consciousness is at any moment by assessing the degree to which I know I am connected to others, to purpose, to meaning, to my planet, to the trees, to the grass, to the sky, to the clouds. The less spiritual my consciousness, the more separate, the more fearful, the more defensive, the more alone, the more lonely I experience myself. I used to think that altered states of consciousness represented those moments when we awakened from our ego stuckness, from our ego trance, from the bondage of our belief that we are this separate self only. And I no longer see it that way. I see the ego trance as, in fact, the altered state of consciousness. I understand the true state of consciousness to be a universal presence that is always awakening behind, above, beyond, whatever placement works for your particular experience. We each have to find how it is for us. A state of being in which connection, in which participation in a greater life is not a thought. It's not a concept. It's not a cognitive construct. It's a lived reality. It is a who. And in that awakening, in that release from the construct, from the constriction of our ego self, it's enslavement. Our personal enslavement, in the release from that, we are able to awaken, to share an unconditional acceptance, an unconditional love, an unconditional compassion, an unconditional presence that is always yearning to express through us. Our ego is not bad. We need our ego. But the function of our ego, aside from keeping us safe in the material world, the function of our ego is to provide an avenue to share the deeper wisdom, the deeper knowing that is our true and our essential nature, that is in fact the who we are. Sometimes I think we're at the kind of critical juncture in history where we are deciding whether humankind will continue to evolve and survive, or whether we are spelling the end of this particular adventure of life. Life won't end, but life doesn't need human beings. Human beings need life. We are witnessing the kinds of behaviors, the kinds of thinking, the kinds of words that support the evolution of human life, and the kinds of behaviors, the kinds of anger, the kinds of polarization, the kinds of distrust that actually reflect the end of this radical, amazing human adventure. We are really incredible beings. We are beings capable of such amazing love and connection. We are beings capable of bringing forth through our individual uniqueness that universal presence that is in fact meaning and gives true purpose to our individual lives and to our collective life. And we are beings who can close around the constrictions of our ego identity and move into a world which reflects, I'm sorry, I want this, I want this, I want this, and I'm going to get it. And to hell with anybody else, and to hell with the animal kingdom, and to hell with the environment, and to hell with... So I would like to be able to tell you what's going to happen. I can't do that, but I can suggest that what we need to do is the same thing we need to do all the time. And that is to attend to that which is truly essential in our lives, to attend to that which is truly essential in the life of the whole of this experiment called humanity. And that is to attend as best we can to an awakening of that which is yearning to awaken through us. We don't do that by seeking more for ourselves. We do that by seeking to be of service to others. We do that by committing to ongoing spiritual practice, which allows us to take control of our consciousness rather than allowing our state of consciousness to be buffeted around by the external world. We need to return to the essentials, to the essential nature of this human experiment, to the essential purpose of our individual beings. And we need to engage in consistent spiritual practice that we might support our inner responsibility and not look to the external world to give us what we want or to tell us we're okay. One of the practices that I find very useful is a focus on a psalm verse. In my tradition, various verses in the Hebrew Bible were used for as mantras or used for meditative practice. And one of my favorites is comes from Psalm 46:10. I normally don't remember exactly chapter and verse. And it says, Harpu ud'u ki anochi Elohim. Be still. It actually means shut up. Stop racing around. Stop trying. Stop doing. Harpu, stop. Stop. And it's really stop the ego's incessant longings, the incessant attempts to boost itself up, to defend itself, to keep itself safe. Stop. Just stop. Harpu ud'u. Stop that you might know. It's not something you don't know. It's a remembering of an awareness that, in fact, we are. Stop. Stop the incessant yearning. Stop the incessant longing. Stop the incessant comparing. Stop the incessant competing. That you might know and know that I am is God. A lot of times it's translated, be still and know that I am God, but the Hebrew actually translates literally more accurately as be still and know that I am is God. The I am is not the ego. The I am is that presence, that shared being that Moses grasped when in the presence of the conflagration, modestly called a burning bush, when he heard the name of God as Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. God's name is I am. I am as I am, universal, inclusive, absolutely inclusive identity. How could God's name be anything other than first person singular? There's only one. There's no he or she or you or me. You can't have another name. Of course, God is I am. But it's not the I am Ted, even though that greater I am seeks to express through this Ted. It's the shared I am. That shared awakening of consciousness that calls behind our constrictions and invites us every moment to more appropriately live into the essentials, to strive for healing, to express our wholeness. Harpu ud'u ki anochi Elohim, be still. And know that I am is God. be still and know that I am is God. Whatever your practice, practice it. Not to support the aggrandizement of your separate identity, but to help you open to the real work, the real promise, the potential of our being. I very much appreciate having this opportunity to share with you. And I wish you all many opportunities to be still and remember. Thank you.
Now is the time in our service when we are able to practice the law of giving and receiving through our generosity. We are so grateful for your continued support of Seattle Unity through these times and through all times. There are different ways to give. You may text the number on your screen, or you may want to set up recurring contributions. Check our website for more information on that. And at this time, why don't you take your gift in your hearts and in your mind and affirm with me, I give willingly, joyfully, and lovingly, knowing that God is the constant source of my supply. I give with graciousness, and I receive with gratitude. Oh, breathe that in. And we dedicate and consecrate these gifts to the will, the work, and the way of the living spirit of truth. May each gift return to you and each giver a millionfold. And so it is. Amen.
And so we bring our service to a close this morning as we do affirm our prayer for protection. The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well.
If you enjoyed the Seattle Unity Sunday service, please hit the donate button so we can bring you even more uplifting music and messages. Or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. You can find directions and information about all our programs, classes, services, and events at www.seattleunity.org. Or find us on Facebook, where we post all our readings, links to more podcasts, and sermon videos. Seattle Unity, celebrating, inspiring, and deepening our individual and collective spiritual journeys. Shall we see?